Mr. President, choir and orchestra, thank you, and what a privilege it is to be here. I enjoy every time I'm on the campus of Southeastern. And to be able to worship with you, we were singing a while ago, and I looked out and saw Phil Mercer, one of our trustees. I thought he was going to have a fit out here. He got involved in it. And then the choir was singing just a moment ago, and I looked over and saw that it had spread to Mark Harris. He's about to do the same thing over on this side. That's wonderful. Isn't it good to be able to just come together and worship the Lord, fellowship with each other? Now, you're going to have to forgive me, but I wasn't going to bring it up, but the president did. I do have 5 grandchildren. I'm going to tell you one story, and I'll limit it to one. Probably this time being here has been the most exciting time I've ever spent at Southeastern. Last night we were leaving the meeting, going to a meeting, and I turned on my cell phone and had a voice message from my daughter. And so I called her back, and she said, "Daddy said Pruitt wants to talk to you." Now, Pruitt is my brilliant little grandson. And I said, "All right, what is it?" And Pruitt got on the phone, and he says, "Daddy E," he said, "I want to give my heart to Jesus." And I said, "You do?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, Pruitt, why?" And he said, I want him to come into my heart so I can forgive him of his sin. And then he quickly caught himself and he said, "No, I mean so he can forgive me of my sin." And I said, "Well, Pruitt, do you know what it means to sin?" And he talked to me about that. And I said, "Have you ever sinned?" And he said, "Yes." And so he trusted the Lord. Amen. And so I've got several other stories I could tell you about my grandchildren, but I better leave it with that one. The story of Joshua is a story of transition. Moses had been the undisputed leader of the Hebrew people. It was Moses who had led them out of Egyptian bondage. It was Moses who had provided for them when they were in the wilderness and had needs. They had no food, he provided manna. When they had no water, he provided water. It was Moses who was leading them to the promised land, but along the way, Moses died. Now then, the Hebrews have to make a decision as to what they are going to do because their journey was not complete. They could turn and go back to Egypt, sacrificing the dream of the promised land for the security of slavery, and oftentimes they had been tempted to do just that. There were those times when they longed for the flesh pots and the leeks, the onions and the cucumbers that they had enjoyed while they were in Egypt. Or they could go on towards the promised land without their leader, Moses. I think here at Southeastern Seminary, we are able to identify because we too have lost a leader. I think all of us would probably acknowledge that it has been the vision, the tenacity, the dream, the energy of Dr. Patterson that has caused this to become one of the great seminaries in our world. But he's in Texas. So we also have to make a decision as to what we are going to do. Are we going to be caretakers of the seminary, or are we going to be content with where we are and try to protect what has been accomplished, or are we going to go on to our greatest days? I think that is a question that we need to answer. If you'll take your Bibles and look with me, please, at Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1, reading through verse 11. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp, and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Three considerations I want to share with you today, and I hope you will prayerfully consider them. First of all, there is a cost to consider. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is always a cost that goes with risk. Now, it is my belief that there is a greater cost when we become cautious. Now, look at the demands that are made here, because these demands are costly. First of all, vision demands faith. If you notice there in verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. For them to continue their journey required faith. First of all, in unproven leadership. It was Moses who had won the hearts of the people. It was Moses who had led the people. It was Moses on whom they had become dependent. Now, Joshua was a military leader, but he was not the recognized leader of the Hebrew people. He was unproven. If they are going to continue their journey, then they were going to continue with unproven leadership. Secondly, the days before them were uncertain. They did not know what the days held. And so it required faith then for them to continue this journey to the promised land. I believe that we are in a time as well when our faith must be examined and the object of our faith must be examined. You see, faith is important, but the object of your faith is equally important. You can have faith, but if it's in the wrong place, then it's not solid. We need to make sure that our faith is in God. Our faith must be in the God who delivers, the God who provides, the God who is still at the helm of the seminary. I would say to you, students, you can have faith in your faculty. I am always blessed. I am always encouraged just to have the opportunity to spend time with these men and women on this faculty, because they are absolutely committed to the unerring Word of God and proclaiming it to you. You can have a limited degree of faith in the trustees. We are flawed somewhat, but we desire to do what God wants and what is best, and that is our commitment. As I spend time with the trustees, I'm blessed by them as well, because they really want to be God's people serving here at Southeastern. But vision demands faith, but faith then demands action. You see, faith is never passive. You'll notice in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and cross the Jordan. So the Lord is saying to them, you need to arise. Apparently, they wanted to sit there and lick their wounds and perhaps feel sorry for themselves. But he says, arise. Matthew Henry wrote, let not weeping hinder sowing, nor the withering of the most useful hands be the weakening of ours. For when God has work to do, he will either find or make instruments fit to carry it on. Listen to this. Moses the servant is dead, but God the master is not. Arise, cross the Jordan. There's a problem with that. Because at this time, the Jordan had overflowed its banks. This was not a good time to cross Jordan. Well, I tried my best to tell Paige this was not a good time for him to leave. But folks, if we wait until the conditions are ideal, we don't ever cross Jordan. We have to do what God leads us to do, even when the banks have overflowed. Therefore, it is time for us to arise. Yes, we have mourned, but it is time for us to arise and cross Jordan, because our goal is not changed, and we can't put God's work on hold when God is continuing to do great things in our world. There's a cost to consider, but secondly, there is a covenant to claim. In verse number 2, he said, I am giving from God. I am giving. As we respond to God's vision in faith, God fulfills it. You see, we don't do our work alone. Aren't you glad? I'm so tired. I couldn't sleep the first night I was here, and last night they kept me up all night talking in the executive committee, and I kept saying, let's leave. We're not accomplishing anything. Les, they kept me up. I got up today and said, God, you're going to have to do something, because I ain't got no energy. I am just worn out. Aren't you glad? And y'all are taking tests, aren't you? I used to pray and I'd take those tests, and I don't know, the Lord just didn't study much sometimes, I guess. But aren't you glad that we rely on the Lord and not our own strength? I am giving. And look at the promises the Lord gives to us. And these promises are encouraging to me, because first of all, he promises his protection in verse number 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As Israel walked in faith, the promise of God was his protection. He said that no one is going to be able to stand against you when you're walking in faith, and that was true. When Moses came to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, let my people go, he refused to do so. God sent the plagues. Pharaoh couldn't stand against him. When they came to Jericho and the city was shut up and they walked around it and blew the horns, they couldn't stand against them. But that's what the Lord promised. As you are going in faith, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to protect you. How many times has the demise of this seminary been prophesied? I remember when the Pattersons came. I read the reports then where people prophesied the death of this seminary because they came. Now they're gone. People prophesied the death of this seminary because they're gone. God protects his interest. This is his seminary. It doesn't belong to the trustees. It doesn't belong to the Southern Baptist Convention. It belongs to God. And God protects his interest. God also promises his presence. There in verse number 5b, just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. You see, when God sends us, he goes with us. He doesn't send us alone. His promise is his presence, and I will not fail you, he said. Oh, some of you have been failed by your families. I know that. Some of you have been failed by the church. I know that. Some of you have been failed by friends. Some of you might even have been failed by faculty along the way, or trustees along the way, or other Christians that you've looked up to along the way. But God says, I'll not fail you. I'll not fail you. He said, not only will I not fail you, he said, I'll not forsake you. And some of you have been forsaken, but not by God. 1896, David Livingstone spoke at the University of Glasgow. He said, would you like me to tell you what supported me through all the years of exile among a people whose language I could not understand and whose attitude toward me was always uncertain and often hostile? It was this. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. On these words I staked everything, and they never failed. God promises his protection. He promises his presence, and he promises his power. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, he says, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you're going to have power. That's a promise of God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it was God's power in Egypt that delivered them from bondage. It was God's power at the Red Sea that parted the waters. It was God's power in the wilderness that provided for their needs. And it is God's power today that provides for this seminary. It is the power of God. There is a covenant to claim. Thirdly, there is a concept to chart. Joshua's strategy is an example for us. It's interesting because he understood the purpose of the Hebrew people. That they were to occupy a land in a hostile environment. He understood that when he led them. Do we know our purpose? I looked it up on the website just to make sure. Here's what the website of Southeastern says. Having served Southern Baptists for over 50 years, Southeastern was founded on God's Word with the purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission. Don't forget the purpose. But then there must be a plan to fulfill the purpose. And Joshua was a man with a plan. If you read the book of Joshua, it's very easy to see that he had a plan. In fact, I was in a meeting with Jim Henry, previous president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Jim was speaking about a military officer in Israel that he had spoken with. And this officer said, our military still studies Joshua and his military strategy. We used his strategy in the Six-Day War of 1967. He was a man with a plan. This is a seminary with a plan. It is reflected in the quality of our faculty, in the development of our campus, in the hearts of our students, and in the giving of our supporters. There is a plan. Priority is important, and our priority is the spiritual and academic development of our students. And students, it's our prayer for you that your heart is on fire for Jesus Christ when you leave here. Let me tell you something. I preached here several times in this chapel. I preached in here when you couldn't start a fire with a match. And it is so wonderful to be able to come now and feel the presence of God in this student body. It is our prayer that your hearts will be on fire, that your minds will be prepared, that you're ready to give an answer for the hope that you have the courage to go to the uttermost parts of the world. Last night in our meeting, Greg English shared a testimony, a student. He had been in Morocco, and I was so blessed. Is Greg here? And maybe he's gone back to Morocco, but he spoke last night, and just the genuineness of his spirit blessed me. You know something else that blessed me is I was watching his wife. And while he was up there talking to us, she was just beaming, so pleased and proud that they had the opportunity of serving the Lord. Students, be that. Be that. Have your heart on fire for the Lord. Your mind's challenged so that you deeply delve into the Word of God, the things of God, and the courage to go anywhere. Wherever God leads you, go anywhere with Him. There are some perils that we have to be aware of. And Joshua faced some perils in Joshua chapter 9. He was deceived by the Gibeonites, so there is the peril of deception. And we are deceived if we think we can do God's work apart from God. There is the peril of division because Satan always tries to divide. And in Joshua chapter 22, I see the people when they come to the river and three tribes wanted to stay on one side and the rest of them go on, which would have divided them. The Corinthians were divided. You know that they were divided over preachers. There were some of them who said, well, I am a Peter. I like Peter. I mean, he tells it like it is. And someone else said, well, I like the Apostle Paul. Paul is so deep. I mean, when you listen to Paul, he goes so deep in the Word of God. And someone said, well, I like Apollos because Apollos is an eloquent speaker. And then there were the spiritual ones who said, well, we don't follow any of them. We are of Jesus. They were divided. Be aware that especially during this interim, Satan will try to divide you. He will try to divide the students. He will try to divide the faculty. He will try to divide the trustees. He will do that. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. I work for a nonprofit church. But I can prophesy that. Satan will try to divide this seminary. Another peril we need to be aware of is diversion, because he will try to divert our attention, get our attention off the real things of importance. And when I read through this book, I notice when they had captured five kings, and so they wanted to stop and celebrate because they had captured five kings. And Joshua said, no, put them in a cave, lock them up in there. When we get through with our job, then we'll come back and celebrate, but not right now. We need to be aware that Satan will try to divert our attention to other things. When Nehemiah was rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem, he was tempted to diversion, and so he said, so I sent messengers to them, saying, I'm doing a great work, I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down with you? Folks, we're doing a great work here. This is a great work in the kingdom of God, and we must not be diverted, but Satan is going to try to do that, to turn our attention from what God has put us here to do. Then there's passion. Joshua and Caleb were men of passion. I love them because of that. When they sent the 12 spies in to spy out the land, and 10 of them came back saying, oh, we can't go in over there. They're giants, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And Joshua and Caleb said, man, they look like loaves of bread to us. I mean, they had that passion, and then at 85 years old, Caleb is still saying, I want that, I hope I'm that way. You know, I always admired Senator Thurmond from our state. You know, he's 100 years old and still looking at pretty girls. I said, I hope I'm that way. I mean, have passion, have life, and be passionate. Disciples had a passion that caused them to turn the world upside down for Jesus. Have passion for Christ. Listen, students, faculty, listen. Protect your passion for Jesus. Because the longer you do it, the harder it is. I was listening, this has nothing, I mean, you're not a great theologian. I was watching something the other night while I was here, and Kenny Chesney was on. I think he's in church music, isn't he? Either church music or country music, which is that? Yeah, acting is, if you don't know. He's a country singer. But he was talking about doing all of these performances, and he said, you know, you do so many of them, and after a while, he said, I caught myself one night singing, and I was just going through the motions. He said, I never want to do that again. Passion. Passion for Jesus. Really love Jesus. And that's a temptation I have. I mean, I get so involved in doing the work of the church and studying, preparing sermons and doing those things that if I'm not really careful, my passion for Jesus begins to slip. There was an evangelical from another denomination who spoke with his bishop in England, and he asked the question, Bishop, is our denomination still married to Jesus? And the bishop said, son, we're not even engaged anymore. May that never be said of us. Folks, guard your passion for Jesus. Just love him. You don't have to know everything to just love him. Guard your passion for the lost. I read the story of a medic in Vietnam. And he said that when they would bring in the injured, they would treat those they could help and they would move on. He said a medic who had been there longer than he said to him, don't ever look into the eyes of a dying man, because if you do, you won't leave him. Folks, we must look into the eyes of dying people. You must be willing to look into the eyes of those without Jesus and share the gospel with them. One final word, perseverance. You'll notice in verse number 6, be strong and courageous. Verse number 7, only be strong and very courageous. Verse number 9, have I not commanded you be strong and courageous? Be strong. God will give us his strength. These good days, these are good days. I miss Dr. Patterson. I was aggravated at him when he left. I mean, seriously, I know you probably were too. But I want him to do what God wants him to do, because I know that God's still going to provide. Be strong, be courageous. Our work's not for the faint-hearted. Our work is for the faithful. And we'll be successful because he says in verse 7, only be strong, courageous, be careful to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Folks, what we need to do is just join together with the Lord, praying together, looking for God's man to come and lead us, and our best days are before us, not behind us. Amen. At the end of Joshua's life, he gathered the young men together and he said to them this, "Don't be scared. God is with you. We are searching for God's man to lead this seminary as president. But in the meantime, don't be scared. God is with us." May God bless you. Watch out for the devil's temptations. Love Jesus with all your heart. And don't allow Satan to do anything to divide or disrupt the fellowship and the mission of this seminary. Our gracious Father and God, we come to you thanking you for the blessed privilege of knowing you. Lord, it is our heart's desire to love you more, to serve you better. And Lord, how we thank you for the seminary, we lift it up to you and ask, Lord, your blessings upon it. Father, your protective care of it. Lord, we believe that we have the vision that you have hewn out for us and we're committed to it. Lord, keep us from being diverted, divided. Lord, I just pray that you will use us and that the greatest days that we have not dreamed nor imagined are before us. In Jesus' name, amen.